This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Oh, they just need to turn the music up to keep us warm, I think. I realize it's late March, and it's supposedly spring in New York City, but here in Bushwick and probably parts of Manhattan, it's the opposite of the dire wolves in Game of Thrones. It's not that the Starks at Winterfell say winter is coming. Here in Bushwick at Roberta's, they just say winter is not leaving. It's very cold. So I decided last Monday that we would treat the listeners of Eating Disorder to a rare repeat. I don't know. Liz, the engineer, was in charge. I don't know if she played the episode where we had all those great mimes in, and we talked to them about their jobs, and they didn't answer. But I went to Brisket King NYC, which was an event not dissimilar from the barbecue festivals that pop up, except that this one had some real celebrities. It had Jimmy Pots and Pans, also known as Jimmy Carbone, of Jimmy's 43 in the East Village. Joey Deckel was there. And the meat, the brisket, which was supplied by 20 different vendors, including like Dinosaur Barbecue, which had a great potato bun-clad sandwich with some sweet relish. The barbecue was gone in an hour, and then people just descended on the booze, sheep-dip whiskey and micro-brews. So I got out of there pretty quickly. I was a VIP judge. I voted for Hometown Barbecue out of Red Hook. Their brisket was really, it was like a Zaftig woman at the burlesque. It just had it all. It was moist and fleshy and big, and it just jiggled well. And it tasted great to the music. There was no music there. So tonight, for Eating Disorder, with my two co-hosts who aren't present, we decided we would do a musical episode. We did so well with Cornmo the other day, a one-man accordion band, that I thought I would bring in some friends who also are in a very good band. And I want to introduce them. But first, where are our co-hosts? Where's Paldo? Chef Paul Girard is at Bel Rev in Tribeca on a very windy corner. And where's Revo, the Reverend Spiro, is recovering from South by Southwest. He was out hobnobbing. I did get reports from South by Southwest, not from him, but from my buddy Raphael, the heterosexual hairdresser, who said the evenings were very late and the music was good. And I guarantee the music will be good tonight, as I'm joined by two gentlemen who formed the band My World, John Maltabano and Chris Munger. Welcome, gents, to the studio.
Hey, crazy. Yep. Thanks for having us.
And because we only do visually stimulated radio that people can't see but they can hear, I'm just going to physically describe you guys. So when you play, John, you're on the bass and vocals, and John is this sort of Viking-esque, long-haired guy, and I mostly see you with your hair tied back. But when I first saw you guys play, you just let it go. It was like a heat miser wave of hair.
It's the alter ego.
The alter ego.
So right. So during the, you know, it's when I'm not on stage, I'm a little bit more of the, you know, kind of librarian scientist kind of guy.
And
then,
yeah.
Then when we hit the stage, you know, then the hair comes out.
The hair comes out.
The alter ego.
Yeah. Definitely. And then Chris sometimes wears this Fidel Castro cap, sort of El Comandante, the leader, your guitar and lead vocals, right, Chris?
Well, John's lead vocals.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have no musical talent. I own three ukuleles. I haven't learned how to play them. But you guys do a lot of singing together,
yes,
no?
We do.
Okay, yeah. All right. So, but you play the guitar, and then
play the guitar.
Is the drummer full time, or you have people fill in sometimes?
Well, we have rotating drummers all the time,
okay,
depending on who it is. But right now, we have this guy Leo playing with us for a while from Brazil.
All right,
Big shout out to Leo.
Shout out. Now, the album I have in front of me is All Shapes and Sizes, and you guys got it to me, and then we actually filmed a video for Ron, which is a song on there, which is going to be our break song in between the segments. But the first time I listened to it, you know, I guess in my mind, I didn't have an inkling as to what genre. Mm. In other words, I knew what instruments you played, so I was like, oh, maybe it's just rock and roll. But when I listen to it, it's almost as if, and this is a compliment, each song is very distinctive in different genres. So you've got a, well, you've got a range. It's not like you're playing polka and then, like, you know, Chapatoulas like Mardi Gras Indian chants, but you've got some spoken word in there. Yeah. You've got some interesting musical changes. What kind of style do you guys consider yourselves?
That is an interesting question. I think, I think it just kind of like what came together. Mm-hmm. So I would say we're kind of like experimental rock with a twist of hot peppers and stuff. I don't really know.
It's really distinctive and unique in that each time a song comes out, it's a little bit different. Some even have lean almost towards like a very like heavy metal vibe. I mean, Ron, that you have some celebrities in the video.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe we might have Chunk
Pull is full of celebrities.
We might have one of them here.
Yes, Mr.
So
Steve Gorillaz. Yes.
If you go to YouTube and you type in for official video My World Ron, you'll see this video, and there's incredible amounts of hot chicks, and somehow you invited this guy, Steve Grillo, in studio.
Well, don't you know I'm responsible for all their success?
Yes, he is.
But I want to know if you're responsible for the hot chicks in the video. There were a lot.
No, actually, that was John Montalbano.
I have connections.
It's actually John's hair that did it.
It was funny because...
They live in John's hair.
Yes.
They do.
I went to the meeting point for the video shoot, and it was a bar owned by a buddy of mine, Mason Reese. Mason Reese, for those who don't know, was a child actor in a lot of very famous commercials. I think Santa Claus.
Well, he was
McDonald's.
He was the original Duncan Munchkin.
Duncan Munchkin,
and he also did the Underwood deviled ham commercial.
Yes, yes.
Where he had a smorgasbord.
Yeah, and Mason has grown up.
Not really.
He's grown out. He's grown out, but he's got a. He's run bars, and he really should write an autobiography.
He's actually doing something that's pretty fun right now. Mason's project. He did a pilot.
Okay.
Basically, he plays a bar owner that his wife left him for another woman, and then he lives in the building with his mother-in-law.
Okay.
But the fun part is his ex-wife is Nellie from Little House on the Prairie. her new wife is Tabitha from Bewitched.
Uh-huh.
And the mother-in-law landlord who owns the bar and the building is Marianne from Gilligan's Island.
He just got all his old friends together.
Yeah, basically, it's all these old, it's old child
amazing.
Actors all come together
for this. What is it? Nick at Night doesn't greenlight that right away.
Yeah, or TV Land.
TV Land, yeah. But maybe even
Netflix.
Maybe. He's run some interesting bars. That could happen in real life.
Oh, he's run some interesting bars.
He's run gay clubs, tranny bars, straight bars, spiker bars. He's done it all. He's the master of the underground nightlife.
Yes, he is.
Probably has played your music in a few of his bars. Perhaps.
It's funny because actually Ron was stuck on the bar.
It's itchy and scratching, actually.
Yeah. It's itchy and scratching.
Right. Okay,
itchy and scratching. It was every time there was a pause in between someone playing a song on the jukebox, itching and scratching would come on.
Now, My World, where did the name come from?
I mean, I think we were on a beach. Right, we're kind of sitting on a beach.
Staten Island, somewhere nice.
Long Island, actually.
Long Island, all right, yeah, Long Beach.
There's no nice beaches in Staten Island.
Staten Island beaches, right. Yeah,
the place used to be the dumps.
I know. Right. You know what's funny? There's the seaweed churns up by the rocks, and everything looks like pesto. Like if you go swimming, it's like...
No, that's the Italians dumping the shit out the window.
It could be. All right, so you're on a beach in Long Island.
Yeah.
Clearly not swimming.
No.
Just two dudes in their Speedos.
Exactly.
With some
contemplating life.
Banana hammocks.
Me and John sitting at the beach thinking about life.
Somehow I don't picture you guys at the beach.
We were having a picnic.
Were you wearing
together.
Like all leather gear? Like
yes,
what were you doing?
Definitely.
Did you take a wrong turn? All right, but so where did it go? My World.
I think we were just trying to come up with a name.
It's easy to remember, which is good because there's another band I do as a competitive eater. I've been with Navy Entertainment. I've done these military tours. Sometimes we always open for bands and sometimes the bands are college bands. Sometimes they're very well known. We were with a band for one show in Japan, and I wasn't familiar with their work, but the teenagers were going crazy because they had a big song with Christina Aguilera. Mm. And that band's name I can never get right. And I even asked Liz, our engineer, before. I was like, what is that band? And she told me, and I still can't remember it, but I think it's
A Great Big World.
Thank you, A Great Big World. But that I can't. That's
too
not
too many words.
It's
too,
hard problem. To remember. So My World, I like it. It's concise. Cool. It's easy.
See, maybe the original one was, you know, my beach day and lots of sun and sand in the world. Then we shortened it to
My World.
That's
what I thought. I didn't know if it was part of a longer phrase that had gotten shortened. You know, it's My World, everyone else is living it, or if it was an altruistic kind of My World. But what musical influences affected you to come up with the band and the album?
Well, I guess it kind of stems from, like, you know, when Chris and I met, too, because, you know, we both grew up on Long Island, and we were, you know, lived a few towns away from each other, and, you know, at first, you know, we had kind of heard of each other because we were both, you know.
I was like, I'm going to fucking fuck that guy up.
And take him to because people were like, you should meet this guy? And you, inside you were like,
they were like, Chris,
why should I
meet
him?
No, it was be careful if you meet that guy, Chris Munger, run.
all right.
John was the biggest guy in town. If you take him down, you
run. Oh, there you go. Like, you know, like the prison cafeteria scene.
That's right.
You were ready with that spork, that
definitely.
Plastic spork.
Shank him.
But so the moment you guys met, though, was it Admiration Society, or
I guess, you know, we were both kind of like, everyone kind of thought we were, you know, different or weird because we were, you know, we were both into, like, you know, jazz stuff.
Okay.
And we're also into, like, you know, like kind of like old 70s fusion.
Okay.
You know? So, and that wasn't what a lot of people were into. We were also into heavy rock too.
Well, here's a good question, because this just came out, I think, yesterday. Speaking of Long Island bands and Long Island guys, so Dee Snider came out against Kiss, Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons for allowing the original Peter Criss and Ace Frehley makeup to be put on the two new guys, Tommy Thayer and maybe Eric Carr.
Didn't they just lose their drummer?
Oh, I don't know.
Twisted Sister did.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say.
He was in a different band touring 3 days ago. Yeah.
Right.
But what is your thought? You think it's okay for Kiss to pass the makeup down to anybody?
I mean, it's a little awkward, you know, only because we kind of like, you know, I mean, both of us, you know, kind of grew up with Kiss too.
Right.
You know, so it's a little awkward, but, you know, I mean, you get like a guy like Gene Simmons who's like, you know, a total business person.
Oh, he's a dick.
he wants the Kiss to go on without him. Makeup on four different guys.
Right.
Chris, you like Twisted Sister or Kiss better? I'm putting you on the spot here.
Now or back in the day?
Oh, I'll take both. I'll take both answers.
Okay, back in the day, definitely Kiss.
Interesting. Okay.
Now, definitely Twisted Sister.
All right. Any issue, John, with them playing, Kiss playing I Was Made for Loving You, their big disco hit, number one in Australia?
I think that was a pretty lame song.
Do you like it now, though, or no?
No.
You've never liked it?
I've never liked it. No.
Slightly off topic. But I read a lot of rock autobiographies. I did a movie with Dee Snider, so I'm a big fan of his. And I saw Kiss at Jones Beach this past summer, and it was good. I'm glad I saw them, but I think I'm more in the Twisted. I saw Twisted Christmas, and I think I like that better.
Right. I've met both of them, and Dee was always really cool.
Yeah.
And Gene Simmons is just the biggest dick I've ever met in my life.
I met him too.
He did something that was just so horrible that it was. He had a book come out, and he was doing the autographs. Now,
was this the business book or whatever?
It was something lame. Yeah. And
his autobiography is the worst of the four. But
he was doing a book signing at Scores. Now, I'm not that big of a fan to begin with.
Right.
I never was a big Kiss fan. But, you know, I appreciate it.
I thought you were going to say you weren't the big Scores fan.
No, I lived at Scores.
Yeah.
I used to get a phone call. I just ordered you the publicist would call me up because I just ordered you a filet mignon. You better get down here before it gets cold.
I'm sitting at home going, okay. That's the call you want to hear.
So I just happened to be at Scores at the bar. And there was like 10 or 15 diehard fans that waited a good 2 to 3 hours for Gene to get there.
Right.
And the line wasn't that long. It was an awkward place to do a book signing. And the rule was the only thing Gene was going to sign was his book.
Right.
Because Gene was...
And the girl's breasts,
obviously. Yeah, of course. And this guy, first in line, came up and he said, Gene, I know that you don't sign anything but your book, but this is the first album that I ever got. My father gave it to me. He passed away 2 weeks later. This album means the most to me. I would never re-sign it. It would mean so much to me. I waited 4 hours. It took me 3 hours to get here. Please, Mr. Simmons, would you sign this? And he didn't even have the balls to look at him. He turned his back to him.
Oh.
This guy proceeded to rip him a fucking new asshole. You cocksucking piece of shit.
You should have took the album.
I'm in the back going like this. I'm just going with the back going, yeah, fuck him up, fuck him up. So, yeah, when I saw that, like, that this guy was almost in tears. He was like, my dead father gave it to me. It was his last gift. And he turned his back. Didn't even have the, like, and there was like 15 people waiting in line.
That's rock and roll. That's rock and roll. What can you do?
Cocksucking.
Reminds me of the time I was in Atlantic City with Mason Reese and the Bay City Rollers and an unnamed 70s iconic rock star who pretty much did the same thing. Now is Leif Garrett.
Okay.
Nice guy. Bad sunburn. Overcooked swordfish. all right. We're here with My World. We're going to take a very short break. And at the break, we're going to play the song Ron from My World. And we'll be back with Steve Grillo, John Maltabano, and Chris Munger. John, am I saying your last name right?
Yeah.
I just am rolling it out as if it's a Cuban panini sandwich.
That's the most perfect way
all right,
to
excellent.
Pronounce it.
Well, we are at Roberta's Pizza. Yeah. And while Ron plays off the album All Shapes and Sizes, we'll eat some Roberta's Pizza. And Eating Disorder, we'll be right back.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hey, what's up? This is John Norris, and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network.
All right, we are back. I was expecting to listen to Ron, the song, but I guess it played over the break. And Liz, the engineer, did tell me I was supposed to pay attention and put my headphones on. But I was distracted. We are back with Eating Disorder. I'm Crazy Legs Conti. My World, the band, is in studio without their instruments. But Chris Munger, John Maltabano, and joining them, our good buddy Steve Grillo, who is waiting on pizza and informed me he was a pizza chef.
Yes, so this will be a big
a
test.
A pizzaiola.
This will be a big test for them. I'm a bit of an aficionado.
An aficionado.
But I did have to say...
the difference between a 79-cent slice and a 99-cent slice.
I completely could do that.
All right, perfect.
But I did walk in, and it did look amazing, though.
Yes, it is. This pizza is very good. I've sampled almost everything on the menu, although there's a new pasta dish I saw coming in, and I almost stole it off somebody's plate. Musically, you guys have played a few gigs that I've been to, but what kind? And one was sort of a showcase, not a showcase for you so much as the event space was a showcase space.
Oh yeah,
which was a weird. What's the name of that place?
That was Toshi's.
Toshi's.
Yeah,
it almost looks like a human fishbowl because it's all glass on the outside.
I never thought about that. Yeah.
How was that room for you guys? It's because it's people sitting on couches.
It's fun.
It was good, yeah. I thought it was great.
Cool little place because it was a hotel.
Yeah, you know? Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, it's actually cool. The lounge of a hotel.
Well, the fun part of that was that, you know, they're both very animated on stage, and they weren't watching, but I was watching the people walking by on the street coming back from work going, what the fuck is going on in there? Yeah. And then when Chris realized that, he started fucking with the people outside while he was playing.
Nice. What other venues do you guys like to play? Or
Any ones that'll take us.
Any ones will take you. Well, you do have, I mean, I think we should mention this. I know in newspapers they have to be forthcoming when they're like owned by Rupert Murdoch or whomever, but you guys have a lot of connections in the music industry in a different capacity, as really, I guess, facilitators to get music out there in TV and film projects, and as well as your own music, but doing scores, doing composition, kind of running the gamut, which is how we ended up meeting, because you were looking at different TV and film projects. And that's something you have your hands in as well. Anything upcoming that you can plug or mention? Or
the past? Yeah, actually, well, we're working on two movies right now, scoring two movies.
Okay.
One of them's an independent horror movie, which is down in North Carolina for. It's called But Deliver Us From Evil.
Oh, North Carolina. So scary already. Deliver Us From Evil.
Yeah.
And that'll be, and do you know when that's coming out?
Well, October. Shooting for October.
Which makes sense. Good.
Yeah, we're also trying Patrick's movie.
Yeah, Zombies versus Joe Alien.
Oh, so all right. That. Yep. Nice.
We're working on some cartoons. Some cartoons.
Okay.
And,
cartoon with John Holmstrom. I think you met John before.
Yep.
You know, so John's, we're working on a new cartoon with him. He was the animator. He was the, you know, basically the inventor of Punk Magazine, you know, so we're working on something with him.
And, you know, we do a lot of TV stuff, too, so depending on what time of the year it is. And
when you guys say score, are you doing composition? Like
the whole movie.
It's instrumental. They have, it's called source music when it's songs. But for the most part, people don't realize that every scene of every movie, of every TV show has music underneath it. Otherwise, it's just dead and it feels dead. And people are like, I don't know why this is bad. But it's because it doesn't have music.
Right.
Is that something you're looking to do more of? Or in all these different genres, is there something you particularly like a lot?
It depends on the project. Mm-hmm. Each project's different. You know, like scoring a movie is great if the movie's good and fun to score.
Right.
It sucks. It sucks.
Right.
It's like anything, you
know? One of those like L.A., like exterior shot, and then it's just all interiors, and then a helicopter explodes.
If it sucks, is there a lot of
a lot of slide trombones?
Penny whistle
sound effects, like the little fart machine, you know?
Yeah. Yes. A go-to tool. And Grillo, what are you up to these days? What
right now?
I'm
actually working on that John Holmstrom cartoon. I'm the lead.
Okay.
I'm the lead dog in that, and John Montalbano is also a character in there.
Very nice.
My lighting company, Brightshot, sort of picking up a lot of steam right now. Like, if you want to shoot a TV or movie or anything out there, Brightshot is like, it's an LED light that's really powerful, has a bunch of space.
Better than the Kino?
Much better than the Kino. Don't mention Kino when I'm in the
sorry.
Room.
I'm sorry. I'm going film references 20 years ago.
Yeah. They're the big lights, but they're all 45 to 65 amps, and ours is only 3.8. So you can imagine, we could take a $20,000 electric bill and make it $1,800.
Yes, and LED is the wave of the future.
So,
and I wish you guys had done that new Godzilla movie, because I kept looking at the screen and I was like, it was so dark, I couldn't even see the monster.
You know those Chinese, they like it dark.
Yeah, they might have been Japanese there.
Oh, okay.
All right, so everybody's got some stuff going on. And my world, you're currently working on a new album.
Yes, yeah.
And do you have a title for the new album yet?
Yes.
Oh, can you reveal it?
We shall reveal it. It is called Domination.
Domination.
So
wow.
My world.
My
world domination.
Domination.
My world.
I like
domination.
It. I wish AC/DC had a similar vibe to their most recent album's title, Rock or Bust. Right. And the title track is Rock or Bust in Rock We Trust. I think Rock We Trust would have been a better title for the album.
Right.
When you look at their anthems, Highway to Hell, Hell's Bells, Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. They're all very definitive.
Sure.
Like Domination is a definitive title.
Right.
So to hear like Rock or Bust, it's almost like, are they hitchhiking? Like what's going on there? Like, you know. So, but I do like they're coming around, but they're playing stadiums, and I hear you guys would know, and lighting and sound. Stadium shows are not as great to hear a band. Is that true or?
It gets hard to hear the sound, and it's such a big open space.
Yeah. Like, it's a lot of echo.
Yeah.
But I mean, now, you know the interesting play. One of my favorite interesting little tidbits about My World is they played for Public Enemy for a big tour.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So they have a lot of different diversity in their background.
Is it hard being an opening band for a band that big because you're playing to an audience who's waiting for?
Yeah, we never opened for else. Them. We actually played for them. Played with them.
So you were like the house band.
Well, we worked on two records with them.
Oh wow, that's amazing! Yeah. All right.
5 years.
You were the enemy band, I guess it would be known as.
We were the white boys.
Yeah.
We were the enemies.
And how was that?
Crack a barrel.
And was that an interesting? Is that
5 years of my life? I'll never.
Because these guys that I also went on a military tour with, who I love, the Kelly Bell Band out of Baltimore. They're a big party band, but they started. They were Bo Diddley's band for a really long time until they kind of split off, and that's a different. You have to put yourself in a different mentality as a musician, I would guess, because you're basically the framework for somebody else to be in the spotlight. Like, when you're growing up, you never realize when you hear, it's a single person's name. I guess now you would hear Kelly Clarkson. You don't realize that Kelly Clarkson has a band behind her.
Right.
Or Sting, or not the Police, obviously, but who's the Australian guy? Rick Springfield, right? Like, Rick Springfield probably got like 7 or 8 guys playing music behind him.
Right.
And they're thinking, like, I'm the only thing keeping this guy together. I saw Leonard Cohen play, and the one thing I noticed, as much as I love Leonard Cohen, is the musicians he had with him were unbelievable. Like, so I would imagine at times you must have felt like you were making it happen. Oh, don't worry about that.
I think, the cool thing about, Chris and my background is that, we spent a lot of time, on our instruments.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's like, we're very, very diversified. We can pretty much do whatever we need to do on our instruments. And because of our diverse influences in music, the fact that we're really into heavy rock, into jazz, into fusion, that kind of stuff. Just popular music too. It's like, it kind of, we can pretty much do anything that we set our minds to. Mm-hmm. And I think, like the first My World album, All Shapes and Sizes, it was kind of like a big picture of many of our different influences, So whether it was, working with different artists, even Public Enemy, that kind of thing, working in the studio with them. We had the arsenal of what we need to do to get it done.
And that was one of the reasons why I think they wanted, especially Chuck, wanted us to be in there, was the diversity that we brought to the table.
You could play stuff.
Yeah, they wanted to do something different. I mean, that one of the records we worked on was the first time ever a hip-hop band did a hip-hop jam song.
Okay.
Which we did all together, but it was our thing, bringing it to the table, where we were able to come up and do a 15-minute hip-hop song.
Okay.
Who the hell does that? First off, I thought it was the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life when they said it, but I was like, all right, let's try it.
imagine the summer festivals of all hip-hop, string cheese
instruments. Right.
But speaking of the album, speaking of the song, let's play. I think Liz has a clip queued up for us of The Return of Johnny B. We're just going to play a portion of it to show that musical diversity. Liz, how's it going?
Yeah, definitely fast forward though.
Well, John and B walked into town looking to knock somebody down. 20 years gone since that day that was gonna have his way with you. Have his way with you. And leave me starving out the pasture. Try to cut my head off, will ya? Now I'm gonna have to kill ya. Yes, I'll have to kill ya.
So, interesting enough, people who are listening, they heard Ron at the break. They thought, this My World must be a heavy metal band. With a lot of yelling and primal screaming. And then they hear that, they think, they're a rockabilly band. I mean, that has a rockabilly feel to it. Give me some... Well, we don't play them because we don't have time, but people can check out the album. Give me another song that has an influence in that way. I mean, I know that there's a couple that are straight ahead rock and roll. Mm-hmm. Is there one other song on there that you think
Chow Baby
shows the musical diversity? Chow Baby, what style would that
be? It's a very
be?
1920s jazz.
Oh, all right, 1920s jazz. Yeah. If I was adept, I would have had that queued up as well. But this is a nice segue into where people can find the album, where they can find you. Now, this is on BMG.
Yeah, this came out a year and a half ago through the BMG Chrysalis family. You can get it anywhere, iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, you know, download it, stream it. Preferably buy it. That would be awesome.
Yes. As opposed to getting everything with the library, free. Which I do.
If you're going to stream it, just stream it nonstop. Because eventually it'll add up.
All right.
That
there you go.
That 0.3 cents that comes in.
All right.
That'll add up after 3 million plays.
And why listen to Taylor Swift when you can listen to this, right?
That's exactly. Right. Exactly.
You can also check out the Ron video on YouTube.
That's true. The official music video.
It's on YouTube, Vimeo.
Grill is just plugging his mug and my mug because we made cameos.
I want them.
Well, I had cameos, but it's all about them.
It's good. No, it's good.
And any of the lights in there were ours.
I must have been going. Is that why we look so good?
Uh-huh. You know, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I was wearing all Celtics gear. I don't even know if there was a Celtics game that night. I did bump into Pete, who owns Professor Tom's, and a couple of the guys who work there who are at Roberta's now. So they'll be tuned into the video as well. And then... Grill, where can people get a hold of you?
www.brightshot.com. That's B-R-I-T-E-S-H-O-T. I'm thinking they should just do a radio show of making fun of people eating.
That's pretty much what we do almost every week. Yeah, this first taste table.
This guy's shirt next to me, they're drinking this pink bubbly wine, and it's really tight. He's really trying to show off his biceps.
It's a lumberjack flannel shirt, but it's in like a ladies extra small.
Yeah.
He obviously bought it at Uniqlo.
Yeah.
You know, I go to Uniqlo, and every time I see an XL, I just feel like I have to buy it, even if I don't want to, because I'm like, they only have one XL. But that's how you get all, and bright. You went with the light bright spelling.
The B-R-I-T-E.
Yeah, that's going to separate you from a lot of the field.
Yeah.
And then you guys.
This guy's judging the menu right now.
He's judging something.
He's arguing about something.
Yeah.
Actually, the other band I mentioned, I should have said they were very nice guys for vegans because they had a private chef and they had to get all this stuff done. They had a ukulele tech.
Private shows for vegan?
No, private chef.
Chef.
A band was on the road, but not, and they had a private chef.
Vegan chef.
Vegan chef.
Oreo cookies.
Way to go. We had discussed this. It's true.
That's right.
Steve is a callback to Steve Ettinger, who wrote the Twinkie Deconstructed book. His lovely daughter informed us that basically Oreos are so chemically made that they're vegan, which is kind of amazing.
That's interesting.
All right. So My World, do you guys have a website? Do you have a mail order company?
Yeah.
Brides and little girls.
Honestly, like when you're like, you can get it on Spotify, Pandora. I'm like,
right.
I'm like, where do I buy the casingle? Yeah. That's like, I'm so behind the times.
We have an infomercial on at 3 in the morning.
900 yes, number. Right.
You can type out a letter to.
I was reading True Grit magazine and I saw your ad.
Order now. You'll get a free My World.
Yeah. Also, in if you get the right bazooka comic, it's on there too.
Yeah, if you collect five Pop Tops.
Yeah.
All right. So, where do we get a hold of My World?
So you can reach us at myworldmusic.com.
There it is.
Or Facebook, Twitter, Twitter.
What's Facebook? What's our Facebook?
Yeah,
it's
Facebook
My
page.
World Band.
My World Band.
My World Band.
All Facebook. Right. On Twitter. What's our Twitter?
You have a Twitter handle?
Twitter, My World Band, I think, too.
Right now, the Reverend's listening to me, and he's like, you better say that we are Fork You Radio.
Nice.
That's our
Twitter
today.
Handle. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I have no idea what that means, joining, but or following. No, I do Twitter.
No, I call it joining.
I tweet. And Facebook, Fork You Radio. But we're on heritageradio.org, which is probably not important because people are already there listening. My World, you can get the band, you get the album. Do we know when the new album, Domination, will be coming out?
It should be finished by the end of May.
May.
All right.
And actually, John Holmstrom is going to do the album cover.
Wow.
So, awesome.
Yes. We left out. He's actually in the Ron video, too.
John.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So is Mason Reese.
That's right.
Yeah, well, Mason
Reese. Wow, a lot of people. Yeah. Jesus.
And a whole bunch of hot chicks. Oh, that's right. You know what's funny?
Roy McDonald.
Brian O'Halloran, who a lot of people know as Dante from Clerks. The Rev, Spiro, was like, oh, my God, I guess he's a big fan. And he envisions trying to get the character Dante and the character Randall, which is Jeff. Do you know his name? Jeff.
No,
he lives very far upstate, I think. But he thinks – I don't think he understood those were real people. Like when he saw the Ron video, he thought, he's like, my God, that's Dante from Clerks. I'm like, oh, that's the actor Brian Halloran. These guys know him. But he didn't, that didn't register. Like he thinks we should get Dante and Randall. They could do a podcast together with us. And I'm like, you know their characters in a movie, like that's fictitious. So
it's like, what's a movie?
Yeah. So the next time you talk to your buddy Brian Howard, you should explain to him that there's a guy who co-hosts the radio show who wants to meet him, but not if he introduced himself as Brian, it would be a real problem.
You can only go as Dante.
A riff in the time.
Try not to suck any dicks on the way to the car.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be a riff Dante. In the time community. All right. Well, we are going to get. I think I'm going to join these two gentlemen in the tight flannels with the rosé. Wine.
Yes. They look so warm and cozy.
They do. Well, they got a heater out there. And special thank you to Liz pulling it together. We're going to eat some Roberta's pizza. I am Crazy Legs Conti
for
eating
for
disorder. Thank you, guys.
Thank
you. So John Maltabano and Chris Munger from My World and Steve Groh from a very upscale, classy lighting company and various other ventures.
Yes, that, formerly from the Howard Stern Show. You could say it.
You said it.
Fuck that. I didn't get paid for 5 years. I'm going to use his name until I die.
Well, there you go. So there it is. That's the.
I didn't do it. Howard maybe did.
Yeah.
So there it is. That's how you pay your dues. You do 5 years as an unpaid intern on Howard Stern, or you're the house band for Public Enemy. But very few people can say that. And I should point out at Heritage Radio. .org, heritageradionetwork.org. Liz is shaking her fist at me. We don't get paid unless we get sponsors, so we'd love sponsors, but we do get paid in free pizza. So we're going to say goodnight and eat some free pizza, and it's been great. So thank you guys so much for coming in, and we'll get you a link. We'll send it out on social media.
Awesome.
And I will
love to come back again.
Of course. I think we're going to do an end of the season party and bring everyone to Pumps.
Cool.
Julie Alice Moose, who was in, she's married to Matt Sealboy, who's on the Freak Show now. They have a big Coney Island fundraiser coming up on the 28th. So check out Coney Island USA for that. And we'll get all the former guests on. Maybe you guys and Corn Mocha Jam.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any accordion on all shapes and sizes.
No, we don't.
All right. And he's pretty operatic. So
we'll come on in. Let's set up and we'll play.
It's done. Krill, would you be able to do the lighting for that?
I will do the lighting.
All right.
And
these are some big guys.
Maybe you could be MC,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
All right. It's a done deal. You heard it here first. We're announcing the Season 3 ending party. Will be My World jamming with Corn Mo, Grillo working the lights and emceeing, and then we'll all go to Pumps in Brooklyn, the gentleman's club for hipsters. For Eating Sword, I'm Crazy Legs Conti. We'll see you again soon.
Awesome.
Woo!
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.